In his first letter, John begins chapter, or what for us is chapter 3, by saying, what great love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. If we are to take this journey with the Lord, it's because He is our Father. And we're going to focus on Him as our Father. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Father. One of the ways in which I pray every now and again is for several minutes just to use that word, Father, 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 Father. You want to try it and see what effect it has on you. When you pray, say, Father. Jesus said an interesting thing about worship. He didn't speak very much about worship, but what he said is that we are to worship the Father in spirit and truth. In John chapter 4, when he's talking to the woman in Samaria, he said that the true worshipers will worship the Father. Jesus was sent by the Father. It was the Father that put the seed into Mary's womb that became Jesus. It was the Father who put Christ in you when you were born again. Christ didn't put himself in you. The Father put the life of his Son in you. Jesus, when he came, said, no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom he chooses to reveal him. So Jesus' purpose is to reveal to us the Father. When you pray, say, Father. We worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now, of course, it's true also to say that the Father and Jesus are one. Jesus could say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But the great thing about the Trinity of God is that he wants us to know a personal relationship with him as Father, Jesus as Lord, and to have that relationship of the Holy Spirit as he lives in us and as we listen to the voice of God and obey the leading of the Spirit. So we're to have, if you like, three relationships, which are all part of the one relationship with God, but then the Trinity is just one God. And sometimes I think we tend to put our focus so much on Jesus that I won't say we forget the Father, but we don't give the Father the emphasis or the attention that really we need to. One of the things I really suggest that you do is, I expect most of you have got, and if you haven't got, you need to get, the 150 themes But to go through all the scriptures there about Father, about God as our Father. And you see what a rich relationship God wants to have. Even in the Old Testament, of course, God is still the Father and reveals himself as Father to his people Israel. And just one of the things that comes from the Old Testament, from the prophecy of Malachi, it says this, a son honors his father, and a servant honors his master. This is God speaking. So if I am your father, where is the honor that you should give to me? If I am your master, where is the awesome respect I deserve to receive from you? God obviously expects us to honor him as our father. Now, sometimes I hear people say, I have problems with relating to God as my father because I had such a terrible experience of my human father. Let me tell you, that's no excuse whatsoever for not relating to God as your father. I happen to have a very good father, although when I was young, he was not a believer. He didn't become a believer till his later years. But my experience of God the Father is totally, totally different and transcends anything that my human father could be to me. So whether you've had a good experience of your natural father, or whether you've had an appalling experience, or have never even known, some of you may never even have known your human father, your human experience of fatherhood has got nothing to do with knowing God as your father. He is a father beyond anything that we could ever be as fathers, or we could ever know at a human level at fathers, as fathers. So, you know, if you've had an appalling experience or relationship with a human father, then get to know God as your father, and that will completely eradicate all the whatever healing or whatever needs to happen in you to overcome the memories of your human experience. So our Heavenly Father is perfect. What did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. So if your experience of fatherhood has been very imperfect, get to know God as your Father, because he is the perfect Father. And in that perfection, of course, he loves the children that he has given birth to. He must love you perfectly. There cannot be any imperfection in the way in which he loves you. Now, when you love, you actually are concerned for the welfare of the one you love. That's what love is all about. And the agape, that particular love of God, is a love that gives. And so the Father desires to give himself to you so that you can have the best possible relationship with him. And actually, the best possible life it would be that you could have here on earth. The great thing about knowing God as your Father is that he has chosen you to be his child. You see, we've just been celebrating Christmas. Jesus chose Mary to put the seed of his son into Mary's womb physically. But in a similar way, he's chosen you to put Christ in you. Now, that's what makes you very, very special in the eyes of God. Why should he have chosen you? Well, Paul says it's none of your business. God is able to do whatever he chooses with those that are his own. So if he has chosen to put his son into you, that shows what favor he has already given you. Now, the favor of God, of course, is the grace of God. So this means that you are one of the most favored people on earth. Do you remember what Mary said when she had received the seed of Jesus? She said how highly favored that she was, that God should have chosen her for this wonderful privilege. Well, let me tell you, you are so highly favored because God has chosen to put the seed of his son in you. Now, why should he have done that? Why should he have put Christ in you? In order to reveal the Father to you, in order to make the Father known to you, so that you're not only living, if you like, with the one who walked here on earth as a man for a period of time to become our Savior, but you are living as he did with relationship with the Father. Now, Jesus says all kinds of very significant things about the Father. You remember he said, when you pray, go into the secret place, shut the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father, who sees what you do in secret, will reward you openly. It's the Father who determines your reward. It's the Father who sees what you're doing in secret with him. Likewise, Jesus said, when you give, you know, don't be flashy and open and let everybody know what you're giving. Don't let your right hand know what the left hand is doing, or left hand know what the right hand is doing. Because your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you openly. You see, Jesus is really saying everything needs to become focused on the Father, because what Jesus wants is for the Father to be glorified in your life. That Jesus has made it possible for you to know the Father, and Jesus has made it possible for the will of the Father not only to be known to you, but to actually be expressed in you. So Jesus asks the question, you know, who is my mother, my brother, my father? And you remember he pointed to his disciples who were seated around him, and he said, here's my mother, my father, my brother. Whoever does the will of my heavenly Father is my mother, my brother, my sister. So it wasn't for Jesus just a matter of knowing the Father or knowing that he's your Father, but of having a relationship whereby you love him by obeying him. Now, Jesus said, of course, the same thing about himself. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. But he said, the real children, those who are my brothers and sisters, those who are family, if you like, in the family of God, are those who obey the Father. They want to know the Father. They want to be close to the Father. They want to be living in that loving obedience with the Father. So they pray to the Father. They worship the Father. in spirit and in truth. So Jesus gives a whole series of promises about how God will respond to his children as they approach him as Father. When he's talking about answered prayer, Jesus said, "If you then, who are by no means sinless, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your perfect heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him?" Why does Jesus put such emphasis upon God as Father? Because, of course, a father not only gives birth to children, but he loves the children, he cares for the children, he looks out for the children, he nurtures the children, he brings those children up to be like him. And of course, that is the, if you like, the pinnacle of our relationship, that one day we shall be like him. We shall be like Jesus, we shall be like God, and we shall be with the Father for all eternity. When he talks about the work of the Holy, when Jesus talks about the work of the Holy Spirit, he says that it's the Father who will give you the words to speak when you don't know what to say. You see, God is expecting us, or Jesus is expecting us, to have this relationship with God as our Father, so that when we're stuck, when we don't know what to do or what to say, we will instinctively turn to Father. "Well, you're my Father, you love me, you will give me what to say, you will show me what to do in this situation." And so this walk, this journey that we're going to make with Jesus, we're making the journey with Jesus, we're walking close to Jesus, so that the Father can work out his purpose for each one of us as a branch of this particular tree in the orchard that we were talking about yesterday. But you see, what Jesus wants is for the Father to be glorified in the whole orchard. He wants his Father to be glorified in every tree. He wants his Father to be glorified in every branch of every tree. So Jesus, when he's talking to the disciples at the Last Supper, he says that each of the branches is to bear fruit for the glory of the Father. He's not saying for his glory, but for the glory of the Father. And Jesus made it clear, you know, that he hadn't come to do his own will, but he'd come to do the will of the Father, that everything he did was for the glory of the Father. And that's a very good principle for us to work by, isn't it? That Jesus supplies everything we need in order that we might glorify the Father. So I believe what God wants to do, not just tonight, not just during these 40 days, but in the coming weeks and months, is to give us a much greater revelation of God as our Father, and for us really to have a much deeper relationship with him as our Father, and just to know the comfort of that, the strength of that, the power of that, and how, you know, together with Jesus, the Father will be glorified in our lives. That as we surrender our hearts to Jesus as our Master, so he will enable us to glorify the Father by the fruit that we bear in our lives. So Jesus said, "The Father has entrusted everything to me. Only he really knows the Son, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to make him known." So you see, you are selected, you are specially chosen by the Father, not only to put the Jesus in you, Christ in you. How do you think Christ ever came to be in you, only because God the Father put him in you, in order that now you might, Christ in you, might reveal the nature of the Father, the goodness of the Father, the will of the Father, and enable you to actually live for the glory of the Father. So we have this amazing unfolding of just how lavish the love of the Father is in making us his children. However, our Father is not a pushover. He is God. He is the Holy One. You know, sometimes you hear people say that because the Holy Spirit enables us to say, Abba, Father. Abba is like the first word that a little child says, Abba, Dada, Papa. It's different in different languages, but it's like a little child. You know, people suggest that that's how we should approach God as our Father, you know, as Dad, as Daddy. But actually, that doesn't really register, because when Jesus prayed to him, he didn't say, Hi, Dad, this is Jesus. He said, Holy Father, Righteous Father, Heavenly Father. Because actually, in that word Abba, there is familiarity, there is intimacy, but there is also deep respect. It was a word that was used with respect. And so God wants us to have that intimacy. He wants us to have that closeness of relationship. But he wants us to recognize him as our Holy Father. So it's the Holy Father who chose you to be his holy child and put his Holy Spirit into you, that Christ might live in you and reveal the Holy Father to you. This is why Jesus said, you know, don't call any man father. God alone is your Father. Because, you know, he's Father at another level. That's why, you know, I wouldn't want to call the Pope or anybody else Holy Father. God is my Holy Father. No man could ever take that place. So we have this wonderful, wonderful grace that God has shown us in making us his children. And of course, you know, when it comes to the time when we will meet with God face to face, and there'll be the dividing of the sheep and the goats, what Jesus says of the sheep is, you are blessed by the Father. And that's it, you know. The sheep are those who live at the blessing of God the Father. They just live in that right relationship with the Father. Of course, it doesn't matter if you worship Jesus and praise Jesus and pray to Jesus, so long as at the same time you realize that his desire is that you pray to the Father and worship the Father and know the Father and relate to the Father and honor the Father and glorify the Father. But he's no pushover, because, you know, one of the things that he constantly reminds us about is not to judge, not to condemn, always to forgive, always to be merciful. Why? Because our Father in heaven is merciful. Be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful, is what Jesus said. But you remember at the end of the parable of the unmerciful servant, Jesus says this: his master was so angry that he put him in the hands of the jailers to be tortured until the debt that was previously cancelled had been fully repaid. Then Jesus warned, this is how my heavenly Father will deal with you unless you are merciful and forgive your brother from your heart. So, you know, it's wonderful to have this intimate relationship, to know God as your Father, to know how he's lavished his love upon you, to know how he cares and looks out for you, know how he wants to supply every need in your life. It's wonderful to know all that, so long as you realize at the same time you're dealing with God. He is God the Father, and you don't mess with God. You don't make up your own rules as far as God is concerned. And he says, well, I love you so much, I'm willing to be so merciful to you, but my expectation, therefore, is that you will love as I have loved you, and that you will be merciful as I have been merciful to you. And if you don't do that, then I'm going to deal with you. So don't be surprised if I do. He knows how to deal with us, not harshly, but strongly. He knows how to bring us to the point where we really will glorify him because we honor and obey the word that he has spoken. So it's great to know God as your Father in an intimate way, but he is still God the Father. He is still the Holy Father. He is still the righteous Father. He is the Heavenly Father who certainly wants to do a work in you that will reflect that love and that mercy that he has. So we read, and Jesus says, so act with mercy and compassion, just as your Heavenly Father does, for he is full of mercy. We could go on, and I've got so many scriptures here, especially from John's Gospel, because that is so rich in the relationship that Jesus had with the Father, describes that relationship, and shows how we too are to have that same relationship, that as we relate to Jesus, so then he teaches us how to relate to God the Father. Now, why should this be so important at this stage of what God is wanting to work out in us? Okay, let's get back for a moment before we pray to this vision of the orchard that I shared with you last night. If any of you weren't here, get the recording, then you'll understand what I'm about to say more fully. This is the Father's orchard. The church is the body of Christ that belongs to the Father. Amen. And so his desire is for his will to be worked out in every tree, in every church, local church, that forms this orchard. His desire, therefore, is for his will to be outworked in every branch of every tree, that every branch will bear fruit for the glory of the Father. So everything about this orchard is ultimately to please the Father and to fulfill the will of the Father. So this journey that we're going to take with Jesus is for the glory of the Father, is for the fulfillment of the plan and the purpose that God has for his Father. Now, what is that purpose? Ultimately, it's this: to prepare a bride for his Son. Amen. That when Jesus comes again, he won't come for the kind of orchard that exists at present, but he'll come for an orchard, a church, a body, a bride that the Father has prepared for the Son. Jesus isn't preparing the bride for himself. That's the work of his Father. And I can't go into all the details now, but some of you have heard the teaching before about how the Father determines when the bridegroom is to come to claim his bride in Scripture, in the Jewish faith at that time. So when the Father knows that he has prepared the bride for his Son, then Jesus will come again. And that's why Jesus said, nobody knows the time. I don't even know that myself. Only the Father knows that. Only the Father knows when everything will be made ready, when he will have made everything ready for the coming again of the Son. And then the kingdom of God will be established in all its fullness, and everything that does not honor him will pass away. And that which is left in the new creation, the new heaven and the new earth, everything will glorify the Father and the Son through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that ultimately is the end of the journey, is the end of the purpose for God's church as we know it here on earth now. So whatever journey we are to make with Jesus in these coming weeks and months is just part of the build-up that God is doing for that time when he will come again. His desire is for a bride that is fit for his Son. And he looks at the church now and he sees that it's full of spots and wrinkles. He sees it's full of all kinds of imperfections, and it's nowhere near ready, as we can perceive it, nowhere near ready to be the bride for his Son, a perfect bride for a perfect son, for a perfect bridegroom. So God wants to take his church through this process of reformation, of restoration, of revival, of renewal. It doesn't matter what terminology you use. God wants to transform this orchard from what it is into what it needs to become. And what he has done over the centuries is there have been particular moves of the Spirit that have sort of worked something to see that ambition that God has fulfilled. There was a Reformation in the 16th century. There have been moves of God since through the Puritans and so on and so on, through the various movements of revival that have happened that have all built up. They've all contributed in some way to the transformation or the reformation of this orchard into what God wants it to be. Now, we stand on the very edge of a new move of the Spirit, a new move of reformation. Amen. And God is giving us here at Kingdom Faith, and of course many other places will also be part of this. He's giving us the great privilege of being in at the ground level, being in right at the very start of this, and of being people that have a heart for God as our Father, and therefore a heart for the will of God and the purpose of God to see his church become what he wants it to be, a fit bride for the bridegroom. Now, that's a vast task, and God alone could take the task on. I mean, if you think of what the church is in all its various manifestations, you can say, well, for God to bring all these different bodies into being what he wants, what he perceives church to be in Scripture, that is an immense task that God alone could fulfill. And of course, that is what God will do. It may not be that all the institutions that we see at present will form that bride that welcomes Jesus. But God is always at work. And this is one of the things Jesus said. The Father is always at work, he said. The Father is always at work, and I am working too. That's what he told the disciples. So the Father is always at work, and the Father is always at work to bring about his will and his purpose. So the Father is at work now to bring about in his church that which will glorify him, that which will fulfill the plan and purpose that he has, that which will make the church what he wants the church to be. Now, of course, during that whole process, God has placed the church, he's placed every one of these trees in the world. He hasn't taken a select number of people out of the world and shut them off for the world. He hasn't made us a load of monks and nuns in contemplative communities. He has planted these trees in the world because the purpose of this church and of every manifestation of the church is to impact the darkness of the world where those churches have been planted by God, to impact the darkness of the world with the light of his kingdom. He has taken us out of the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. So we are the children of light who belong to the kingdom of light. And as I explained last night, what God wants is for that light to be shining out of every one of these trees to impact the darkness. So what is a bride that is fit for the bridegroom? It's a church full of light. It's a church full of glory. It's a radiant church. It's a church that absolutely manifests the glory and the radiance of God. That's the kind of church he wants. Those are the kind of churches that he wants. This is the kind of church that he wants here, so that light will impact the darkness all around us, will glorify him by the eternal fruit, the fruit that will last, the number of people that will come and receive eternal life and become God's children forever. That's what he's after. And so when Jesus comes again for a bride, it will be a bride full of light, a bride full of glory, a bride that has discovered the real purpose for its existence. So the church doesn't exist, as we saw last night, doesn't exist to keep the members happy. Doesn't even exist for the members. It exists for the glory of God. It exists for the purpose of God. It exists to make God known to the world. It exists in order to be God's instrument of bringing salvation into the lives of people, of seeing them set free and delivered from all the things that cause bondage in their lives. So purpose of living in intimate relationship with the Father is the way in which God's purpose for his church is going to be fulfilled. It's not going to be so much by what we do, but by who we are as the people who know our God, who relate to the Father. Because, you see, the more we relate to him, the more we know him, the closer we are to him, the more his life and his power and his light and his glory will radiate through our lives individually as branches of the tree, will therefore radiate throughout the whole tree. And you know, the light will, it's almost as if, you know, the light or the fire will catch from one tree to another, and more of the glory of God will be seen in his church. So this is one of the phrases that Paul uses, that the glory of God will be seen in the church. That's what God is after. He wants to be glorified in kingdom faith, and therefore he wants to be glorified in each one of our lives. He wants us to understand God himself is actually doing this work. It's the work of the Father for the Son, to honor the Son. Just as the Son, when he came on earth, honored the Father, so now the Father is honoring the Son by preparing for him a bride, a glorious bride. Hallelujah. So what God has chosen for you is not only for the Father to put Christ in you, not only for the Father to fill you with his Spirit, not only for the Father to make you his child, but for the Father to form you as part of that bride, that glorious, glorious bride that will be married, betrothed to Jesus for all eternity. That's the work of the Father. And so it's a good prayer, isn't it, to say, Father, I want you to work that out in me. I want to so honor you and glorify you that you work in my life in order to honor your Son. And what Jesus makes clear is that as we live in that way, so actually God honors us. I mean, he has honored us by doing all that he has for us, by giving us that new birth, by putting Christ in us, by filling us with his Spirit, by calling us to be part of this great, amazing purpose that he has for his church. He's honored us in all those ways. But, you know, you can't do anything for God without him giving back to you more than you've given to him. And as you live to honor him, so he will honor you. And this is the amazing thing that, you know, you look at yourself and you think, well, there's no way in which God should honor me. I don't deserve any honor from God. There's nothing that I could possibly do to deserve any honor from him. But you see, he's your Father. And what does any father want to do for his children? He wants to honor them. He wants to give to them. He wants to bless them. He wants to actually exalt them, raise them up, lift them up. And isn't this what Jesus says? That God, the Father, raises up the humble. He exalts the humble. And that's why it's so important for us, as we saw last night, to have the heart after the heart of God, after the heart of the Father. But also, and some of us this morning were seeing this, for our hearts to be so surrendered to God. And that means that together with Jesus, we are surrendered to the Father. Are you with me? That we say, Father, I'm your child. By your love, by your grace, through your amazing mercy, you've lavished this grace upon me and made me your child. You made me part of this amazing purpose that you have for your church. You've called me to be a child of light. You said that your light is to shine out of my life so that people will see my good works, excuse me, and give glory to the Heavenly Father. It's amazing, Lord, that you have honored me in this way. And it's amazing that you should watch over me and care for me because of this amazing love that you have, this love that will never falter. It's amazing that I'm a true child, so when I need to be disciplined, you'll discipline me, because I would be an illegitimate child if you didn't do that. But I'm not an illegitimate child. I've been born of God, born of your Spirit, born from above. So you're going to discipline me when I need to be disciplined. You're going to correct me when I need to be corrected, so that I can give you glory in my life. And Lord, I know that you'll never deal unjustly or harshly with me, but even when you discipline me, it will always be in love. Even when you correct me, it will always be in love. So I don't want to be a bolshy, stroppy teenager in relation to you who resents correction and, you know, just walks away and says, nobody understands me, nobody cares for me, or anything like that. That we began this whole relationship as little children. We became part of the kingdom as little children when we started this whole relationship with the Father. It was because he gave birth to us as children. But now the scripture says we are to grow to maturity. We're not to be in those sort of stroppy teenage kind of attitudes. Not all teenagers are like that, praise God. But, you know, it's the way that people often think. But we're not going through rebellious periods and things like that. If any of you have been through that, praise God, you've been through it and you're out of it. But what God wants now is for us to go on to maturity. And what does the scripture say about maturity? Well, Paul says, and we'll just finish with this before we pray. Paul says that forgetting what lies behind, we're reaching out for what lies ahead. See, and this is it. We're reaching out for what lies ahead now in God's purpose for his church, for his orchard, for this tree in the orchard, for each one of us as branches in this tree. We're reaching out now for what lies ahead. Actually, the scripture says we're straining. We're so eager that we're sort of straining to take hold of that which lies ahead of us. And Jesus is taking us along this way so we can take hold of everything that the Father has for us. And then the scripture says, now those of you who are mature will think like this. And if you think in any different way, then the God will bring you correction. All that said in Philippians chapter 3. So we're mature, yes? We're not stroppy teenagers. We're mature believers who say, right, forgetting whatever lies behind of my understanding of church, of my perception of church, of why I even belong to a church, now I'm straining for what lies ahead. I want to glorify the Father. I want to see the Father's purpose for his whole orchard fulfilled. I want to be part of his purpose of preparing a bride for his son. I want to be part of a church that is going to be full of light, full of the glory of God, in order that it may impact the world with the light of the gospel. I'm so privileged, I'm so proud in the right way to be called of God, to be chosen of God, to be honored by God, to be part of such a process. But I realize I can't be part of such a process unless I am devoted wholeheartedly to him, that I'm devoted wholeheartedly to the Father. And if I'm devoted wholeheartedly to the Father, I will be devoted wholeheartedly to his purpose. And if I'm devoted wholeheartedly to his purpose, then I'm devoted wholeheartedly to this walk with him. I'm not a casual walk. I'm not going on a casual little stroll with Jesus. But I'm walking with Jesus for the glory of the Father, to see the Father's purpose fulfilled for his orchard, for this tree in the orchard, for my branch as part of this tree. I'm totally devoted. I'm totally in line with the will and purpose of God. I'm not here for myself. I'm not here for my own agenda. I'm not here just to be blessed. I'm not here just to be healed. I'm not just here for God to look after my needs. I'm here for him. I'm here for his glory. I'm devoted to him and to his purpose. And if I seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then all those other things will be mine. He will take care of that because he is my Father, because he is my loving Father, because he is the Father of glory, because he is the Holy Father, because he is the perfect Father, because he is the gracious Father, because he is the righteous Father, because he is the heavenly Father, and I belong to him, and I am his child, and nobody can take me away from him. So this is really what it's all about. So what kind of response can we make to this tonight? I think we can only get on our, our knees, our faces before God, or whatever is appropriate for you, and say, Father, I think some of us probably, after a message like this, some of us would probably need to say to God, God, I never realized I was part of something so important to you. I never realized I was part of something so big. I never realized that my life mattered to you so much that you actually chose me to be part of this bride, that you've been nurturing me, correcting me. And perhaps you need to say, Lord, I have been like that stroppy teenager sometimes. I haven't liked the way you've dealt with me. I haven't liked the discipline. I haven't liked the correction that you brought into my life. Sometimes I wanted to walk away. Sometimes you may even have walked away. But God, you see, because this is his purpose for you, God has got you back. He's brought you back. He's brought you back on course. But whatever you might need to put right with God tonight, the essence of what he's saying to us is, okay, we forget what lies behind. Amen. We now have the vision of what lies ahead. And we're straining, we're moving forward into that which he has for us. And that which he has for us is going to be different from that which we have known. It's not going to be more of the same. Reformation is different. It's a reforming of the people of God. He's going to reform our lives personally. He's going to reform our lives corporately. And that's going to take you into an entirely new dimension spiritually. An even closer, more intimate knowledge of and walk with Jesus and with the Father. You're going to know the Father. You're going to love the Father. Amen. Your instinctive way of praying will be, oh, Father. And when you worship, you'll not just be worshiping Jesus, singing songs about Jesus and what he's done for you, but you'll be worshiping the Father. Say, oh, Father, 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 thank you so much that you have called me and chosen me and made me part of your purpose to see you glorified in my life, in your church, in the world. To make me part of the bride that you're going to give to honor your son, because your son honored you by giving his life in loving obedience to your will and purpose. Shall we all stand? Just come and fill this space. Can you sense the presence of God right now? He is in this place. He is always here, but sometimes he manifests his presence. I can just sense now it's going to be a great manifestation of his presence tonight. I've never preached a message like this before. This is a Reformation message. This new move of the Spirit has begun. It's begun here tonight. Just respond to what you've heard. Talk to him as your father. Your loving father. Your merciful father. Your gracious father. Your holy father. Your Heavenly Father. You remember when the Father placed the seed of Jesus in Mary's womb, or before, you know, at the time when this happened, when the angel appeared, told her this was going to happen. She said, "Let it be to me according to your word." Now that God has planted Jesus in you, and the Father has birthed Jesus in your life, can you say to him tonight, "Let it be to me according to your word"? No matter how I've lived in the past, Lord, from this day onward, let it be to me according to your word. Can you say to the Lord that you want to fulfill the destiny that he has for you, to be part of this bride? Because you've lived for the glory of God. Can you have a mature attitude about your life tonight? Say, "Well, I'm forgetting what lies behind. My whole concept and perception of church as it has been, I'm reaching out now, Lord, for what lies ahead." Can you thank the Father that he's brought you this far? Can you thank him for the ways he's corrected you, disciplined you in love? That he hasn't let you have your own way, because he's called you to his way. To see the outworking of his will. My life is not my own. I was bought with a price. Therefore, I'm to glorify God. I'm to glorify the Father in my body, with my body. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Can you say to him tonight, "Father, I'm devoted to you. I choose to devote myself to you. I choose to devote myself to your will, to your plan for my life, for your church. However that plan unfolds, Lord, it's not for me to judge the plan. It's for me to be part of it." To fulfill the part that you have for me. Just go on talking to him. From your heart. You can't say anything superficial to him, can you? I mean, wouldn't hack it tonight, would it? You can't fob him off with pleasantries. because he perceives what's in your heart. You see, you can only be devoted to his will if you're devoted to him. And if you're not devoted to his will, what are you devoted to? Because nothing else matters. Don't stay silent. Keep talking with him, engaging with him. Just remember, you keep talking to him until he talks to you, then you shut up and you listen. And then you respond to what he says. And the dialogue takes place between the two of you. But this is your Father speaking through his Spirit. Remember, Jesus said that the Spirit never speaks anything of himself. He speaks only the words that the Father gives him to speak. So this great God and Father is speaking to you tonight. Because you're one of his chosen ones. One who is honored. One who is privileged to belong to him. Oh Lord, that you should love me so much. It's indescribable, it's not possible to understand, to comprehend. I can only say thank you, Lord, for that amazing love that you must have for me, that amazing mercy and grace that you've shown to me, this amazing plan and purpose that you've got for the rest of my life. Thank you, Lord, that you call me to be part of this new reformation. Reform me, Lord. Bring reformation into my heart and life in whatever way that is necessary, so that you can be glorified in me and your purposes can be fulfilled in my life. Bring about that reformation of your Spirit in my heart and life, Lord. Oh, the wonder of you making me part of this eternal destiny. Being united with your bridegroom's son as part of your bride. So amazing, so wonderful. To know that I will live at one with you forever. That I will not die but live. Oh Jesus, it's so, 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 so wonderful. Thank you. praise you, Lord. Reform me, Lord, whatever way is necessary. Reform this church that it might be filled with your glory, that your glory will radiate from this particular tree in your orchard. Your glory in my life. Your glory in your church. Revealing you to the world. Bringing light into the darkness. Thank you, Father, that you care about every aspect of my life every day. The way I think, what I say, what I do, the way I relate, the way I am your witness, for the way that your light will shine out of my life to impact the lives of others. Thank you that your love is so practical. What great love you have shown me that I should be a child of God. And I can only love because you first loved me. And I praise you tonight for that amazing love. I worship you, Father. I worship you, Father. I worship you, Father. Thank you that Jesus is seated at your right hand, and I am seated in heavenly places in him, all for your glory. Abba, Father. Father, Father, Father. Thank you, Father, that you're always at work. Thank you that you're always at work in me. You're always at work in each one of us. Lord, as you've devoted yourself to me, so I devote myself to you. I choose to do that, Lord. Tonight I devote myself afresh to your will, to your purpose. To know you and to make you known. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Father. Simply believe, Jesus said, simply believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Even the words I speak to you are not my own. The Father who lives in me is working through me. Who really loves me? The one who not only has my commands but obeys them. Anyone who genuinely loves me like that will be loved by my Father. I will also love him and will continue to reveal myself to him. If anyone genuinely loves me, he will put my teaching into practice. My Father will love him, and both he and I will come and live with him. Yes, we will make our home with him. You did not choose me, no, it was I who chose you. But I not only chose you to belong to me, I also commission you to go and bear fruit that will be of eternal significance. As you go to do that, the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Those things that you know to be consistent with my will. Jesus says, the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed who I am. Thank you, Lord. We praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the Father of compassion and is full of mercy. He is the God of all comfort who daily gives us strength. Yes, he sees us through all our difficulties so that we are able to strengthen others in their troubles with the same strength we have received from him ourselves. Now through him, through Jesus, we all have direct and personal access to the Father through the same Holy Spirit who lives in every believer in Jesus Christ. Peter says, you pray to God as your Father, and he judges impartially what each person does. So live in fear, in reverent awe of him, as if you are living as a stranger here on earth, because you belong to his heavenly kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. In the prophecy of Isaiah, it says, "Now, Lord, you are our Father. You are the potter, and we are the clay. We are all the work of your hand." And in the prophecy of Jeremiah, "You shall call me my Father, and you will not turn away from me." And again in Isaiah, "You are undoubtedly our Father, our Redeemer. Your name is eternally the same, O Lord." And those words from Malachi, "So if I am your Father, where is the honor that you should give to me?" Praise God. Just thank him. Let's all do that aloud. Just begin to express our praise of the Father. Father, 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 I praise you. I worship you. I exalt you, my God, my Lord, my Father. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, that you have revealed the Father to me. Thank you that you have made the Father known to each one of us. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that the Father and the Son have come to make their home with us. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, I want you to be at home in my life. We want you to be at home in this church, Lord. We want you to own this church as your own, as your body, as your favored people that you have blessed in order that we may become a blessing, an even greater blessing than anything that has been in the past. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you. We bless you. Kora taparia letu bakala santuma. Korea leto bakala sitaria leto bakala sitri santuma. Balatabaria leto bakala sitri santo bakatoria leto bakala sitapa. Baratabaria leto bakala sitri santuma. Boratabaria leto bakala zinuma. Thank you, Lord, that in this coming Reformation you want to lift your whole church to another level spiritually. That more and more of your glory will be revealed in your church. And we praise you. We praise you. We bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank Ora tapare leto bacalasi tri santo bacatoria leto bacalasinum. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Poparaza tapare leto bacalasitum. He is able to do so much more than all you would ever dare to ask him or even imagine that he would give you through his power that he has already placed within you. So let his glory be revealed in the church, and let those who belong to him live to give him glory. Yes, believers of every successive generation forever. Amen. It shall be so. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come, let's just stand.